Blog Talk Radio.
Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
I like how she says that, your future awaits. Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I have with me the lovely Maya Moon tonight. And, of course, we were not on last week because yours truly was pretty sick. She could hardly talk. I mean, she could talk. I could talk, but you would think to yourself, is that really her? And my voice is back, but I'm still a little nasally. But anyways, we're here. We're ready to go with our part two of our topic of believe in what you cannot see. And everybody knows I end the show with that. And it's very dear to my heart, that, and of course the angels, the archangels, and anything about, you know, the universe and all of that. But this is really one of my favorites, and it's one that I really, truly believe in. So let's go over to Maya Moon. How are you doing tonight, Maya Moon?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And you do sound better. Yeah, poor Miss Natalie. I know a lot of people have had this flu. It's an epidemic in our area. And she did sound so terrible and, of course, felt terrible. But she does sound better. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. And, you know, we have to believe, too, that, you know, even getting sick, it seems like there's no reason that we get sick, but there's always a reason. I think we figured it out. We don't necessarily have to share, but we figure things out. And the way everything starts, the foundation of everything is believing, because it has to start there. If we don't have belief or faith, then we can't go up. We can't walk our path. We can't do anything. So I'm glad that you're better, and
yes,
everybody else
me too.
That's sick. I know for some people it's much worse than for others, but they said, I know our area, and not just our area, but everywhere, they say this influenza, which is basically pretty much more or less what you have. I mean, you might
exactly.
have
Exactly. I did not have strep, and I didn't have influenza A. I was tested for both.
And
but there are 12 strains. There are 12 strains. And he said to me, you know, he came in and, well, you don't have this and you don't have that. But it was just kind of sitting right ready to go in my lungs. So I went in at the right time.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling much, much better. But there are a lot of people that are very sick. And if you know anybody that is, just give them time. It takes time to get over this. It's really a terrible strain. You know, kids need to stay out of school. My granddaughter was out of school for a week, but she had a high fever, and she had influenza A. So, our topic tonight. Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was interesting to bring this up, too, is I'm not a big Super Bowl fan, but I know there's a lot of people that are. And I heard something interesting, and that is that yesterday was the Super Bowl. The day after the Super Bowl, I think it was something like a million people, more people call in sick to work the day after the Super Bowl than any other day in, you know, combined, whether a holiday, like, you know,
right.
the day before Christmas.
That makes
Christmas.
Sense, doesn't it? They party too much, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or headaches.
So
I can see them all. Oh, I have this terrible headache. I can't come in.
Right.
Yeah,
so
we know.
They
should just give everybody the day off, because that's what happens, I think, right?
Right.
We were very, very busy. I expected traffic on Stars to be a little light, but it was just the opposite. I mean, I wouldn't say it was the opposite. It's just been driving. I mean, it's been wonderful. I mean, I sit there and I do my paperwork because I'm doing payables right now, and I see the receipts just falling. I call them falling. They don't really fall, but you can see that from my server. It goes bleep, bleep, bleep. And, I mean, you know, it's a wonderful thing as an owner to know everybody's still coming on the site, because I thought it would be really light yesterday, but it was not.
Well, I think,
and there were a lot of women, there were men on the site, so not everybody parties.
No, and not everybody, a lot of people, like the females, maybe their husbands or their significant others, or, you know, sometimes it's the opposite, you know, maybe they're watching the game, and so the other part, a lot of them are females, of course, most of my clients are not all of them, but many, so they're busy on the computer, and it's a good time. So, yeah, I can see where yesterday was, it was a busy day for me all around, so it was busy. I mean, I'll check to see who won and the ads they had or who, if you didn't, if, for those of you. But anyways, I did just want to mention for those that are suffering, you know, or getting over it.
Suffering. You have to believe that you will be better tomorrow.
Well, you do, because that you know, whether it's influenza or it's just this nasty thing going around, I know out here they don't necessarily test for, you know, influenza. They just kind of assume if it's not strep, that's what it is. And it, like Natalie said, it's very long, and it really causes fatigue and weakness. So I just wanted you to know that I would send in prayers to all that are under the weather, that aren't feeling well. And, yeah, you have to believe that you will, because sometimes when we get sick, just like other challenges, it can feel like, you know, well, tomorrow we thought we'd feel better, and then the next day comes. But eventually that day does come. So you can't lose your hope and your belief.
No, you really can't. And if you are like Maya and I, like last week we didn't have the show, but I always look at it, I'm sure she does too, that there is an alternate reason for it. There was another reason, and you have to always look at things like that, that, okay, well, I'm not supposed to go to work today. I've got this headache that's just killing me. Well, maybe it's better that you didn't go to work that day. So you have to look at things like that. And now our subject, my most favorite, believe in things that you cannot see. It's a wonderful subject. It's totally what I believe in. And I could tell you so many stories. And I think, Maya, I'm going to let you begin, and maybe I can write some little notes here and gather what I would like to talk about. I already know. But you want to do that?
Sure. Well, I want to preface this by saying that, you know, a lot of times when you're going to, if you want to call it a psychic, I really don't, you know, care for that particular term. I consider myself more an intuitive counselor, you know, or a spiritual, you know, coach, something like that, because I believe that's what I do. And, you know, I'm using the word I believe. I'm not doing it consciously, because that's part of our topic. But it's just part of my faith and belief that that's my calling, and that it within that, it's not just about telling you your future and saying, well, you're going to marry and you're going to do this and that's going to happen, but is to guide people to be able to maintain or, you know, get back their hope and their faith and their belief and what they can't see or feel. And so, you know, I've had many experiences, so I'm a human. I think sometimes we think of people that are in the spiritual field, just like some people may see doctors that way. You see them in, you know, you forget that I'm human, I have bills just like everybody else, you know, I take a shower just like everybody else.
Right, yeah, you're not up there floating around either.
Yeah, no, I know a client and a
friend.
You're real. a friend of mine, she laughs, she's a hilarious person, and she's African American. And the reason why I bring that up is because she said I was so funny. She said, I pictured you as this, you know, white angelic creature that lived in some kind of white mansion up in the hills, you know. And so we always laughed about that. And she said, she always said, no, you've got soul. You've got, you know, so much soul. And she said, it's hard to picture you as a regular person, but I am. So I've faced, in my life, I have faced so many challenges. And I mean, I know there's at least one that I want to bring up, but there have been times in my life where I'm going to just talk about one first and then I'll turn it over to Natalie, that I know that if I did not have my belief and I did not believe in what I couldn't see or feel or know, that, you know, I don't know that the outcome would have been the same. Because the problem is, and I'm not sure, hopefully as we go along between Natalie and myself, we can articulate it. But belief is the to me, that's the foundation. So something cannot happen. Now, you know, I'm talking more about life in general. I don't think that I can sit there and believe a Mercedes is going to show up in my driveway. I do believe, though, that if my drive or my focus is to get one, that there's a way for me to do that. But it everything takes work. So it's not a wish, I guess is what I'm saying. Belief is in the power of tomorrow, in the potential and opportunity that things can change. And I would have to say that for me, one of the biggest, and I've had a lot of challenges, a lot more than people might know. And of course, you know, I don't share with my clients unless it's very relevant or they're a friend. You know, a private client friend. But I would have to say probably one of the biggest times is I was actually diagnosed with ovarian cancer. This was in 2001. My youngest son was 3 weeks before he started kindergarten. And I was absolutely terrified to have surgery. I'm not good with doctors, hospitals, sicknesses, so on and so forth. And I was almost going to just chicken out because I had to sign papers that said that they could, you know, do a colostomy, that they could do this because they, the pre-testing that they did indicated that it had spread. And so I was not believing, I was not having faith up to that point. I was thinking, you know, pretty much that I was going, this was going to be the end. Ovarian cancer is almost always deadly. For those that don't know, it's almost always fatal. It's rarely, it's not one of the cancers that can be cured or cut out. And I went to bed that night and I realized where my mind and my spiritual self was. And I said, you know, I was in the wrong place and I prayed. My beliefs are with God and Jesus, but I'm accepting of various beliefs. I don't think one is better or gives you a edge over the other one. And that night I was praying, I was saying, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and all of a sudden I just felt, I didn't see anything, lights didn't flash, but it just came over me, you know, where's your faith? It was like a question, where's your faith? Where's your belief? Where, you know, if you don't have that, you're going to be rolled into that operating room, and where is the motivation? Where is the foundation for this outcome to change if you can't even believe in the possibility? And so my entire energy from my spiritual, emotional, I still didn't sleep very well that night, but I think that's fairly normal. And, I still was a little reluctant getting out of the car, and in fact, I wouldn't let them give me the relaxing drugs because I wanted to talk to the surgeon, and if you want to talk to the surgeon, then they can't give you any medication. So I was not relaxed, but I just you know, had, I just wanted to share with my beliefs, and I also wanted to ask him if he would please pray with me before they wheeled me in. So they did, and when I went in, also I should mention that although I still had my gifts and abilities, and I did work on a private basis, it wasn't something that I did full time like I do now. I did it more on the side. I still had the same gifts and abilities. I just wasn't using those as a main purpose or path in my life. And so when I came out of it and I was awake enough, the surgeon came, and the first thing that I woke up when I was coming out from the anesthesia, and I was on, because of the way they had to cut, preparing for this to be cancer, they had to do an extremely large cut because they didn't want to risk cutting into something cancerous. And so I realized that I could see, which I could before, but I would have to focus myself. But suddenly I could see everyone's aura, the nurses, the doctors. They were just as plain as, you know, I can see them now, but I have to stop and focus to look at them or see a picture. So that's the first thing I noticed. And I knew, I had a feeling everything was okay. And so the surgeon came in, and he just kind of shook his head, and he was with his assistant, not his surgical, well, I guess she was the surgical assistant, and his office assistant, meaning a nurse, nurse practitioner. And he said the initial results show that this is not cancerous, and everything that showed on your scan, on your liver and your kidneys, what they call satellite tumors, we looked at everything, and we could not find anything there. He said, I do not have an explanation for you. He said, we do need to wait for the final results, but he said the pathologist felt very, very certain that you are cancer-free. And, of course, I was overjoyed, as was my family. And when I recuperated, and it took me a while, again, because of the way the surgery had to go, I went into this work as an expert, a professional in the spiritual field, full-time, because I knew, first of all, that was my purpose, and I knew it wasn't my time. And the point of that story isn't that, oh, poor thing, is that what changed everything, if you want to call it a divine intervention, if you want to say I received a miracle, or, I mean, some people who don't believe would say, well, they just made a mistake. It never was here. Well, you can believe that if you want. But I know what I was told and what went on before, and I know what I was told after. And that's why, that's just one example out of many, the only one that I'll probably share. And I know that the difference was, if I didn't have the belief, then how can higher power, divine, Buddha, whatever, it doesn't matter what you see as the source or the creator or the divine, regardless of the word or the term, if you don't have the belief, then, I mean, there's nowhere for that higher power, the creator, or the source to change that, because that has to be in our system. It has to be absorbed into us. It has to be how we see things. If we don't, if I would have gone to bed and gone into the hospital, you know, without the belief that possibly I was going to be okay. Now, I got some assurances, but I didn't see any lights. I didn't hear archangels talking to me. I didn't see archangels. I didn't get any visuals, so I didn't have any supernatural experiences. I just had more my own, you know, conversation within, and realized that I needed to believe. And so to me, that's the epitome, or that's iconic for how our entire lives are, whether it's something serious like that or it's something non-medical. It's about our career, our love, Love is another one where without belief and faith, you know, it cannot be created. I don't know if I'm articulating it correctly, but we have to have that, because if we don't have that, then there's just nothing to prove. If you want water, but you don't have a cup, you don't have anything to put the water in, then there's nowhere for go with that. So, you know, that's not a very good analogy, but that's just what came to me. So I'm going to
It's a real good one.
Maybe you are better at you know, explaining how, or maybe you see it differently. But anyways, that I would say is something that I will never forget. And I believe that that's what, in addition to other things, I do believe that part of it was not just in me believing. I know I keep saying belief because it's just such a part of who I am now, but also because I believe that I was meant to do this full time or as much as possible, as opposed to just here and there, if you know. So anyways, over to you, Natalie. So we'll see what Natalie has.
Well, I had something, and most people have heard it, maybe you haven't heard it before, that I was hit with a virus about the time that the Ebola virus was out there in Africa. And but I just felt funny, and I felt funny, and so I thought, I'm going to go see my doctor, because I have always been very in tune to my body, always. And I went, and I was going away on a trip. He said, go away on your trip, but if you start to feel bad, oh, goody, stop at a hospital. Well, that didn't make me feel too good, so I thought, what does he think? And he said, I have an idea, but let's do the blood work and the initial one, not the big one. We'll do that when you come back. Oh, yes, okay. So I went on the trip. I was feeling okay, but I did call him. He said to call him, and it wasn't he listed all these things it wasn't.
Okay.
And I said, well, what is it? And he said, when you come back, he said, we're going to do a complete liver study. And I thought, well, okay, that would be the reason why I had no energy. Well, by the time I got back from this trip and I went to see him, it probably wasn't that day, it was the next day, I had trouble standing. And that's no joke. And I hadn't taken anything. I just had trouble standing. It's something that, and of course your liver is a lot about your energy. And of course something was attacking it. So I went in and he took these huge vials, for the blood work. And he said, they'll be back. He said, I want you to come back, in 2 days. They did a rush on it. And so I went back, and I was really incredibly weak. I had to hold on to things to stand up, and here I was in my 30s. You know, I'm thinking, what does this mean? You're in your 30s? You get like this? This can't be. You know, I mean, I was thinking all these crazy things.
You were weak as in, like, fatigued? Or
I had no energy, and I couldn't hold myself up.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So, and he sat me down, and he had this chart that he pulled out, and he said, well, we've come to the conclusion, there were two doctors, he said, that this affected you like hepatitis. He said, somehow, some way, you got this virus. So we went through all of these motions. I hadn't been in the hospital, you know, there was no needles involved, there was nothing. And then he started asking me these questions. He said, well, where do you usually go? I mean, do you go out to dinner, or did you go out to lunch? Tell me what you do. Well, every Friday, we'd always go to this one restaurant because the gal there was really nice. The food was good, okay, and that's what we did. And he said, okay, I want to ask you something else. He said, do you drink out of the glass? And I said, yeah. Hmm. He said, okay. He said, there's only one other way you can get this. It was the transfer of the fluid from one person to another. Obviously, you didn't share anything with anybody. You weren't, you know, intimate with somebody who had it. It came from the glass. He said,
at the restaurant, you mean.
At the restaurant. Yeah.
Oh,
he said the only thing that we can come to is that it could be microscopic. You couldn't not even see it. I mean, even if you looked, put the glass up to the light, you would say, oh, this looks clean. But he said somewhere in that glass or on the rim of that glass, it was not clean, and that's where this virus was. That's where it sat, and you drank from it. And he said, now, the good news is, and I said, yeah, I would like to be able to stand. I mean, I didn't talk. I didn't watch television. I laid like a zombie. It was like somebody who was really hit with something in it, and I wasn't afraid. That's the funny thing. I wasn't afraid at all. Oh, okay, I'll be better in a week or so, you know. Well, he had me go in every day for vitamin B12 plus iron and a gamma globulin shot. And the gamma shot really hurt. You had to build up from 1/10 all the way to the full, and it was painful. So he gave me those for a long period of time, and then we did this for probably 2 weeks. He said, either that or I put you in the hospital, and he looked at me and he says, and I know you're not going to stay there, because he knew me. You know, I'm out of here. I'm going home. Give me my shoes. You know, I'm not a very good patient. He said, or you'll be walking around helping everybody. And I said, well, no, I can't even help myself. How can I help anybody? So we did it for a couple of weeks, and gradually I started to feel a little bit better. And needless to say, we did not go back to that restaurant. And there was a man who was as sick as I was at the very same time that went to him also. And he said to me, now, we don't know and we won't know how this affected your liver unless we do a biopsy. And he said, and I really don't think it's necessary. He said, we know what happened from all the tests. We kind of have an idea of where it came from. And we know what the recovery is, but he said, the only thing is, this is all we can give you. We cannot do anything else for you. So he said, don't go anywhere. Stay in the house. Don't let people in your house, because he didn't want me to contract some kind of a cold, because a lot of times you would get a secondary infection, and that would really do you in. You'd end up with pneumonia, and it wouldn't be a pretty sight. So I obeyed because I didn't want to go in the hospital. Oh, no, no, no. And so so about, I'd have to say, maybe the third week. Now, I was starting to feel a little better. I was asleep, and I woke up, and Maya knows this. I woke up, and my room was glowing like a golden yellow. I mean, I looked all around. I thought the light was on. I thought something in the hall. I mean, I covered my eyes like a little kid. I was covering my eyes and then uncovering them like, where is this light coming from? This is amazing. So,
right, like it was almost like you were thinking, well, I'm still asleep or I'm dreaming, and so you were kind of like closing and rubbing your eyes and thinking.
Yeah,
I was
doing that. I kept blinking and thinking, oh, this is some kind of dream. It has to be. Well, the longer I sat up, I mean, it didn't go away. And then, I looked at the ceiling, I looked ahead. Then I decided to turn around and look behind me. And this is the truth. On the back of my wall, this was, I don't know if it was a miracle, I don't know what it was, but on the back of my wall was a crystal about 7, 8, 9 feet high. It was a raw crystal. In other words, it was jagged. It wasn't an even, you know, like a crystal hanging from a cavern someplace. It wasn't like that. Well, they can be jagged, too. This was jagged. That's
so
where the glow.
It was what, like, pointed, like what they call sometimes a cathedral.
Yeah. And that's where the glow was coming from. And I stared at it a really long time because, you know, it was really something, and you know, I kept blinking my eyes and thinking, wow, is this really real? But the strangest thing happened then. You would have thought I would have stayed up until it became daylight because I would keep focusing on this light coming from this. It was more than that. It was a glowing, a glow coming from it. It wasn't like you turned on a light. It was a glow. You would have thought I would have sat up until it was daylight because I wanted to see it until the very end, but I didn't. And I put my head back down and I fell asleep. Well, the next morning, I got up and I looked on my back wall. Okay, nothing's there. Okay, how do you feel? Well, not too bad. But I was in recovery anyways, and I was feeling better. And I never saw it again. That was in 1982, and I have it written down, and I have a picture of it because I drew it that morning. As soon as I got up, I drew it. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, gee whiz, I didn't associate it to me being ill. But at that time, I worked for this big group of all these advisors, and I got to know all of them, and, I mean, it was easy to talk to them, and I was in charge of collecting the money, which I've always done at every event, any wedding, any whatever, give it to her. She's got it. I mean, they always trusted me with the money, which they could. So I asked one gal that I did a little bit of secretarial work for. I said, well, what do you think? Oh, she said it was just to heal you. And she was like, as a matter of fact, and her name was Susan, and I actually turned her around, and I said, no, it wasn't just that. She said, and now, mind you, I'm the novice in this group. I'm not supposed to be like them, which I thought I was not like them. I just thought that they were all that and a bag of salted chips, right? So I said, no, it was not. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, I was supposed to see it, because if it was just for healing, I would have stayed asleep. I wouldn't have needed to know. She argued with me about that. She said, no, I don't believe that. And I said, well, that's what I believe. I said, I believe I had to see it because wherever this came from, and I really didn't figure it out for a long, long time. I mean, it stuck with me, but I really, and I didn't tell many people about it because, you know, I mean, the psychic world and the spiritual world, I like to call it, it was really kind of really bursting out a little bit. So there were some people that would look at you like you're weird. And she said, well, why did you, she was really kind of snotty, why did you have to see it? I said, because whoever or whatever put it there knew the only way she's going to believe this is if she sees it. And she needs to see it to believe it. Well, that was my interpretation of that, and it never appeared again. I can still see it in my head. But I believe that event in my life set me on this, you could call it a golden path. It took a few years now. I didn't just all of a sudden, oh, yes, here, she's going to start a site and she's going to do this. No, it didn't work that way. I had a regular life, and I stopped with the group. I guess I got disenchanted with them. But you have to remember, here I was, little Natalie, who didn't think that they were as good. I was as good as them, when in fact I was probably better than them. But I didn't know that, and it didn't matter to me. But I only mentioned it to this Susan, and I knew if I said it to somebody else, they're going to give me the same song and dance, and they're not going to believe me. Well, I knew what I saw, and I believed it. And from that point on, something, I don't know that I changed. I guess I was trying to absorb everything. I got all kinds of books. I learned all kinds of astrology. That's when I really started heavy into astrology. I just grabbed everything. I gravitated to everything that I could get so that I could, you know, learn about everything that everybody could do, you know, reading cards, tarot cards, regular playing cards, all of this kind of stuff. The lady that headed up the organization had a regular deck of cards. That is how she read, and she read candle drippings. She was really good at what she did. But when I was with her, and we'd go over stuff for the meetings, and she would read the cards, like if she'd get a phone reading, I would watch her. And I saw what she did, and I don't even know how I did it. I remembered every card she laid out and what it meant, because she would talk to the client. And then she was really giving to me. She said, you seem really interested in these. I said, yeah, I am. And she helped me. She kind of taught me. Her cards were all, they had written information around each edge of it. Like, to me, Three of Hearts is love, or a love call, well, or telephone love call, something like that, right? It's a good call. It's good news, that kind of thing, because it's a heart, and it's a three related to the house of, it's the third house. That's how I designated it. She did not. She didn't know astrology, so she didn't associate the two. And I sat there, and I watched her, and she explained everything to me. She was very giving. You know, sometimes you'll find somebody who is gifted, and they want to keep everything to themselves. You know what I'm saying? They don't want anybody to know anything. They just, because it's theirs, right? Well, not her. She was really, really good to me. She was very sweet. And so I learned that to the extent where I never did readings in the group. Never. I practiced on my best friend, Barb. She was my little guinea pig. I practiced on her, and I developed my own system over time. But I really think what I saw that night, that crystal, kind of like, it was like a thrust for me. We're going to push her out. We're going to open up everything that she has. She has a lot of avenues. She has a lot of people around her with all these gifts. Well, we're going to push her out. She's going to see, and this is my interpretation, she is going to see that they were not better than her. And she's going to go much further. Now, this Susan did tell me, that's when computers were coming out. I mean, I'm not that ancient, but that's when they were really starting to be the big thing, like the Apple. She told me, she says, I see money falling all over your computer. Because I asked her one day about it. You know, I did work for her, and she could see things. And she was pretty gifted. I mean, I didn't catch her telling stories or anything like that. She was real. She was the real deal. So you see, all this exposure that I had allowed me basically to be where I am today. And I think that I saw just pushed me out so I wouldn't be afraid. And it gave me my own belief system, because now I don't think anything can touch it. I have, and Maya knows this, I have times when, you know, I'll sit down and, you know, everybody knows I talk to God every morning, and he probably, oh, here she is again. Gee, she doesn't give up. No, I don't give up. And so, you know, I'll ask something, you know, you're taking too long with this. What's the deal here? You need to pick up the pace. Imagine me talking to God like that. But I have this belief that inside that it's going to be okay. But there are times, and you can ask Maya, where I lose it all. So in other words, what I'm telling people out there is when you believe, you know, it's not a walk in the park, it's not a walk in the clouds, it's not a walk in the sky, it's not a walk in the rain, it's not always simple. To believe beyond anything is the hardest thing to do, because things are going to be coming at you, and it's not the devil. It's just these negative things, because everything is energy. Oh, really? You think that's true? No. Well, I'm going to throw this at you. What do you think with that? You have to be ready to stand up for what you believe in, no matter what. But it's not simple. I mean, I can tell you, and Maya knows, when I send her a text, I'll say, help. I'm having a very bad day. That means it's not that I'm doubting what I believe. It's just, it's hard believing that, and I have a special quest going on for myself, believing and continuing to believe that it actually will happen to little old me. That's the thing. That's the deal. And if you can find, and you have to find a Maya Moon, sorry, I don't rent her out, and and no, you can't have her phone number to call her. No, and she convenes with her guides, and those poor guides, they probably think, oh, God, what are we going to do with her? But eventually, she talks to me, and I'm fine. I'm back where I started. So when you believe in things you can't see, it's the hardest thing that you're going to ever do in your whole life. But I think that what happened to me set me on this golden path, if you will, and I just believe in it all. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times when you're going to not doubt it. It's going to upset you because you believe so much. And say it's on a job that you apply for, and you just know you're going to get this. You believe it with all your heart. You just have this belief, and something happens, and you don't get it. Well, The only way you can bounce back from something like that is you have to say to yourself, unless you have a Maya moon, you have to say to yourself, well, okay, let's look at this, that there is going to be another door that's going to open for you. But perhaps, and I tell my goddaughter this all the time, perhaps the door that's going to be open is going to be so big, so tall, that you will have your choice. It's like going down a street with all of these shops on both sides. You are going to have your chance and your choice at whatever you want. So if you can think of something like that, because sometimes things really knock you down. You know, you just, I would have sold the farm. This is it. This is going to happen. And then something happens, but you have to also remember that sometimes, and it's not necessarily for the greater good, but we're talking about a person here. Well, maybe it's to get you to another place. It's to get you to do something to really reach your potential. And I know Maya would talk about that and tell you that sometimes you have to be forced, like me. You know, I worked for all of these people, and I thought they were better than me. I really did. I looked up to them. Oh, I was such a fool. But I was naive, and I was just being introduced to the world of spirituality. And the lady that I did the work for was very spiritual. She was. Oh, yeah, you walked in her apartment, and she saw ghosts, and she was just, she was the real deal. And so at least I got to know her, and in her own way, she showed me a way, and she doesn't even know today what I'm doing at all. I mean, she'd probably flip out. I think they all would, because here's little Natalie, yes, all 5'2" of her, and look what she's doing. And I love every moment of it. So for all of you who are listening or might listen at another time, believing is a tough thing. It's not going to be easy for you. You're going to have days where you're going to sob and cry and stamp your feet and wonder, why do I believe so much? You don't give up. And don't think that belief is not going to take you someplace else. And I'm probably giving my own dissertation to myself, because this is how I am. But like I said, I'm very lucky I have you, Maya. Things that are going on for me right now are very special, very unique, and she knows. And if I told regular people what I get, the visions that I get, they'd look at me and say, oh, sure. You really think this is going to happen for you? So what I do is I don't bother to tell them, because I don't want any of that bad energy, dark energy, clouding this beautiful light that I have. I'm not going to allow it to happen. Oh, I'll have moments, yes, but then I'll call Maya or send her a text, help. But that's the biggest thing, and I've had other things happen to me just like Maya has, but that is the biggest thing that ever happened, and I think it put me on my path. Look, I met Maya Moon. She found the site was brand new. I had somebody, and this is just to tell you if you believe in things. I started Stars. I didn't even think what it was going to be. I mean, it was a site. Yeah, I had Tony. He's a young guy, very talented. Sometimes we spar with each other. I've told Maya that. Sometimes I don't yell at him, but you know, we kind of have words, sort of, and then he'll laugh and he'll say, I know you're right. I said, just let me do my business, you do yours, and we'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's life is going to be different. Your belief system is going to be different. But look what happened to Maya. Look, it set her on her path, too. So yours is not going to be the same, obviously, but it's going to rely upon that inner part of you. That's where the belief really sits. It's not in your brain. It's just not. And I'm a strong empath, and that does me in a lot. I've been very good with it, which is really good for me, because it's not good to have empathic abilities and you pull everything from all over. My son keeps telling me, Mother, I think you're trying to help the world. Well, if I could, I would. If I could, I would. But that's the biggest story I could ever say, Maya, that had the biggest effect on me. And I know you and I have talked about it. Matter of fact, when I went to interview you, you said, don't tell me what happened to you, because I already know. Remember?
Right. I said, don't, I wasn't rude. I just said, the way I work, I asked for your name and date of birth, which is how I do it. I probably didn't even ask for your date of birth, but, and you already had your first name. And I said, please don't tell me anything about anything, and let me just tell you what I'm getting. And then if you have questions, and so I did say, I said, you had phenomenal experience. I said, I'm not talking about something paranormal, like a ghost or a spirit, but I said, you had an experience that is just, you know, I mean, I use those words. Now, I did want to clarify a couple things. Of course, I know your story, but you got a very strong visual. And
right.
So even though you were with that group, you, where I'm going with this is that not only did it set you on your path to stars, but would you say, because you mentioned something about you felt like maybe you needed to see something really, really powerful and profound so that you would believe, do you feel like that's when your core energy changed and you absorbed the true meaning of having belief? Is that how you started on the path?
Well, yeah, that absolutely, that could have been it, because I don't ever recall not believing. Remember, because I was a little girl alone a lot, so I imagine I talked to any entity that was around that would listen. I mean, I just, you know, because I was alone, and who knows what I talked to? I don't know. I mean,
so
I don't have a memory of that.
Yeah. You might,
I mean,
have been,
so,
go ahead.
Well, it could have been, you know, I could have been talking to archangels for all I know. I could have been talking to God. I don't know. All I know is that there must have been a part of me that thought, well, how can I believe this? I don't see it. And so I had to see it. I had to visually see it. That had to be important, because they were all saying to me, oh, no, it was to heal you. You didn't have to see it. But obviously I did. And they misconstrued the whole thing. They didn't get it like I did. And you know why I don't think they wanted to get it like I did? It's because they were jealous.
They were jealous.
They never had anything like that happen to them. And here I am, was, like I told you, this little Natalie who collected all the money and did all the work, and I was a nobody there. And here I was. I was really a somebody.
Well, you know, first of all, and I've convened, quote unquote, with my guides over this, so it's not my personal opinion, although my personal opinion would be in agreement, but there was a part of it that was healing, but it was greater than that. To me, it was not just to set you on your path, but it wasn't so much because I know, of course, your history and how,
mm-hmm.
you know, your childhood and everything, and this is applicable to those that are listening who have had challenges. Sometimes we can just be accepting, and we just don't question things. It's not so much that we have such a strong faith and belief, whether it's in prayer to God or, again, regardless of what you see as that divine, there is, you know, that does exist, however you identify it or whatever. So to me, you were just accepting, and it was just, you were just accustomed to this life. So when you had this very profound experience, and this is something, for those that are listening, I mean, this is a rare occurrence. This isn't something that the average person is going to have as an experience to set them on their path or to cement the belief. And you were spiritual, but the feeling is that you were not identifying as you were going through life that the cornerstone and the foundation to all this was actually, you hadn't put two and two together, that it was the belief in
this greater power, this higher source, this divine, this potential, that there is nothing that cannot be done if we believe. So what, to me, what it did is it got your attention, it healed you, it set you on your path, and it showed you that belief is something, even though it's intangible, it's actually something that is tangible, because it manifests once we absorb that into our core energy and we're aware of it, we embrace it as an energy, an idea, a thought, a coping skill, a part of who we are, then it becomes ingrained in us just like any other pattern, whether it's, you know, making the coffee every morning or washing our hands at certain times. So to me, that's what I get, is that it showed you that what you were doing, even though you were a believer, you weren't really consciously aware of how strong your belief system was, and you weren't connecting the dots just yet about that belief, that simple. And this is, now this part applies to every human being, that the power that belief has is unimaginable. It is unstoppable. And I wanted to say, too, you know, you were saying you text me help. And, of course, you know, we have a very close relationship. We feel we were sisters definitely in another life. And so we have, you know, a special relationship besides a working relationship. But every one of us human, regardless of how spiritual we are or how evolved we are, how learned we are, and I pronounce that the way I wanted it because it means something different than learned. Learned is
right.
A little bit different.
No, you're right.
So that was not, I didn't.
That was not a mistake.
That's correct. So what, you know, it brings us to a higher place, but we all are going to have our moments, because when we're in the middle of, of the present and then the past, like someone, you know, clients that come to me and they've been alone without a life partner and their preference is irrelevant to love, but they've been alone, or every relationship, let's say that they've had 10 relationships over the last 3 years, but they've all just ended, you know, horribly. They've all been terrible, painful, hurtful relationships. And so it's very difficult when someone has all those negative experiences, person to, you know, with, you know, singing in the rain, or, you know, joy, or, you know, I mean, that's not realistic. As humans, we're going to have our moments where we lose that lifeline. We don't lose it, but that lifeline seems so far away. And so we have to manage, what my guide said is, we have to learn to manage our energy so that we are brought back to that place. And that place is an attitude, an energy of belief and faith, because we are all equal. And I say this all the time. Natalie is famous for the topic we're talking about, and I'm famous for saying that the future is not a reflection of the past. It's not a mirror for the past. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Tomorrow, anything and everything is possible. I mean, you can look at so many different events in our life, not just personally, but other people. And sometimes that can be good, and sometimes we can feel envious. But, I mean, like, look at lottery winners. I mean, how they're chosen, I don't know. The only thing I can say, and I'm not encouraging people to go out and spend money they don't have gambling or on lottery tickets. It's just an easy example. I mean, the only way that you couldn't win as if you didn't play. But who's to say? I mean, so take that as an example. Those people, some of them are already very well-to-do. some of them are about to lose their home. They're in the most dire of circumstances. And in one mm-hmm. moment. But I will say this. If you ever watch any of the shows or read or Google any of those people, almost every single one will tell you that they always believed and had faith that they would win. And again, I'm not at all trying to encourage people to gamble as a way of getting out of. I'm just saying that's an easy analogy to use. And the same is true with love. It doesn't matter how long a person has been alone. It doesn't matter, gosh, I wish I could think of that movie, Letters to Juliet. I don't know if you've seen that one, Natalie.
No, I have not.
It doesn't have anybody that is a big star that I know of. It's about 5 years old. Well, it's really great because it's a couple that meets when they're very young, but she gets scared because her parents have plans for her, and this is all in England, London, in a setting, and she decides after she's a widow, she decides to go and find this person because she was supposed to meet him in a certain place, and she got scared because she knew her parents would have a fit. She was supposed to go to college, and she didn't show up, and she went about her life and lost contact, and then like 45 years later, she decided to go on a quest, and I think she was in like her 70s, and she found him. And he also was a widow. And one of the things they say in the movie, if it was true love then, why wouldn't it be true love now? So that, I mean, yes, it's a movie, but it's actually based on a true story. In fact, it does have good actors, but I'll never be able to think of their names. But they actually had a relationship almost as many years ago as the characters they played. And they ended up by being on the set together. They'd gone their separate ways.
Oh, back together again.
Back together. So that's another. I mean, we could give lists, but the lesson here is that, you know, the way that I see life is that we have to believe, whether it's family, whether it's happiness, whether it's I need $15 or $25 for my medication. Ha ha, that's a private joke.
Right.
you know, and we have somebody that's willing to.
We have a lot of private jokes.
Yeah, that helps us out. But if you don't believe, then you're standing there watching the water come out of the sink and pretend you can't use your hand to cup it and drink it. You have no way. So in order for anything to change or shift in your life, you have to believe. You have to believe that it's possible.
Right.
And tomorrow, right. We have to see tomorrow, we have to manage our energy, and we have to not be, you know, we're in a society that is so tied to time and clocks and when will this happen and when will that happen. And not that I'm against time frames or timelines, but I can tell you that divine knows the proper time, and timing is everything. So tomorrow is a metaphor. It doesn't mean when we believe that tomorrow will be different, it doesn't always mean that next, very next day, something tremendous is going to happen and we're going to be swept out of our entire life. It just means that by believing, we have already projected ourselves spiritually onto the path where we are then able and capable of manifesting and being open to change for the better, positive, finding our path, finding love, a job, a home, reuniting with family, finding our birth parents if we're adopted, getting pregnant and having a child. People can go, how many times have we heard stories of people who tried for 10 years to have a child, for those that want, you know, that, and they adopt a child and they find out a month later the person is pregnant. So I'm going to leave you with this. First of all, I send everyone many blessings and healing, that if you are sick or you have a loved one that's sick, that you feel better. And the second thing is, and I have to start with believing, nothing can change or shift or be brought into our lives unless we believe. And when we're faced with our darkest moments, we just have to manage our energy and just find that little scrap of hope, that little scrap of belief,
right?
Because we're all equal in the sense of we're equal. If we play the lottery, everyone is equal to the chance of winning, but the chance of winning at life in general and how we feel. And if we believe, we generally get through our obstacles, challenges much better. So whatever it is that is missing in your life, make sure that you're open and you're believing. And if you are, I can pretty much assure you that either the outcome you're wanting will occur, or it will be because divine knows there's something better, and that will be brought to your path. So I hope you can all, like, I won't try to say the way Miss Natalie says the saying, but that's, I'm done. We've gone over.
I'm done. Actually, we have extra time, but yes, how you said it is perfect. And everybody, you're going to be different. I even think of me. You know, I have times when, you know, I even doubt, oh, how could this happen to me? This is ridiculous. You know, come on, let's be real here. I think of myself as a nobody when I think about it in the grand scheme of things and this that's going on with me. But, okay, it doesn't matter how low I get, I do the same thing. I sit on the couch. My cat Muzzy comes beside me. I try to be really quiet and still. And that feeling of, it's not desperation, it's just this feeling of you're lost. You just get so sad inside. You don't know how to fix it, because what you believe in, it's tearing you apart. All of a sudden, it goes away and you're back on top. And I get up and I go to my computer with my monitors, and I'm good to go. And I'll send Maya a text, okay, I'm good. but you have to find it. And one day I will be able to tell all of you about this fairy tale, because I'm expecting it to occur. And maybe it will help a lot of you to realize that, you know, what you believe in your heart, what you know is real, no matter what, it can come to you. It really can. And I'll be happy to tell everybody about it. And with that, I'm going to say good night. I don't know what our topic will be next week, but I'm sure it's going to be a good one, and yours truly will be having my voice is pretty good right now. I mean, my voice,
yeah.
It has to be able to rise and level out and rise. Somebody told, a radio guy told me that. He said, your voice, he says, you could lift somebody right out of their seat. Well, yeah, if I'm feeling really good, and I feel really good right now, but you see, all of this energy that I'm getting from Maya and from all of you that are listening, and I know you're out there, you get this good feeling, like everybody's listening intently, and yes, okay, I understand. So with that, we're going to say good night. And we'll see you next week, same time, same station. And look for the note about the next show. The next topic will be on the main at starswithaz.psychics.com. Go visit Maya Moon, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson, and I have a host of them that are just, they're very, very beautiful people. And, you know, they always tell me, I love working for you, Natalie. It's like nothing I've ever had before. That is the greatest compliment I could get. So with that, I'm going to say believe in things that you do not see, because they are there. Good night and have a great weekend. Love to all. Bye.